When your furnace or air conditioner quits, you need it fixed, fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of CARE Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again, without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win the Lennox Partner of the Year Award and a BBB Torch Award for Ethics last year. So, call CARE Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the
radio. 30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
Welcome back. Hour two in this league. That is Bogman. I am Welsh. I'm doing a bad job about saying that. I mean, come on. You don't know. How would you know who we are if I don't say it? You can find him on Twitter at Bogman Sports. You can find me on Twitter at Is It The Welsh if you want to go down that belly of a beast. Hour one, we were talking about just all the Redskins stuff and football and Chad Dukes' comments, which were interesting. We talked about COVID at the back end, and it's relevant to talk about COVID again because we got kind of a shocker that threw at us just simply because of like how the news has turned real quick. On Friday, it was released by Yasiel Puig himself that after a couple days ago where Yasiel Puig finally was signed by a team, the Atlanta Braves were bringing him in after Christian Pache had hurt his ankle. Freddie Freeman had still not reported. Yasiel Puig dropped on Twitter that he just found out, probably because he just signed, that he has tested positive for COVID. He's asymptomatic, so he felt fine. And the bigger, weirder thing that's come in is kind of around like, is he still a Brave? Because in his comment, he does not say anything about, I'm not with the Braves, thank Atlanta for their time. He just kind of says like, I'll be back when I'm back. But I believe it's John Heyman and Ken Rosenthal both report that he had not actually officially signed the contract and that he will not be signing with the Atlanta Braves. And he's essentially a free agent at this point. So holy crap.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what's happening with this story right now, to be honest. It's so it's being kicked around. It's, because he didn't say he wasn't signing in his actual post.
No, I just said
he didn't
that.
He didn't say that at all. But that's it. I guess it's kind of insinuated, and a lot of reporters are saying now that he's not signing. So now that doesn't mean that he can't wait his week or 2 weeks or however long until he gets two negative tests and then resign. That is definitely a possibility. But looks like for right now, he's not going to sign with the Braves.
Yeah, so. And I mean, John Heyman, literally, his tweet says, Yasiel Puig tested positive and is still a free agent. And that's important from a fantasy perspective because when Yasiel Puig immediately signed with the Braves, everybody was tripping over themselves about, like, it's a great spot. I'm more tenuous about what their usage was going to look like with Yasiel Puig. So I immediately put him up. I'd had him down like almost 200 or something like that because we were close to the season and he hadn't signed. And then when he signed, I brought him up into the 140s because I was like, all right, this is like a safe enough spot. I'm not going to go top 100, even though obviously Puig is like a, you know, he can have batting average, power, speed, all that great stuff. And a lot of people, I think, Bogman, would have tripped over themselves if they had a draft over the last couple of days, more of a reason to wait, whether it was, boy, especially the high stakes stuff. And a lot of celebrations were had about people. Oh, my value. It's so good. Oh, I got Yasiel Puig so late and it's amazing. And now he's back as a free agent. And I'm back to, I'm not going to touch within a 10 foot pole.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I'm all the way out on him like you are, but he does have to move down significantly. And it's super annoying for me. I just finished doing my rankings and then wake up to this news.
But that's
the way it is, you know.
But what are you what's the speculation you're going to invest in? The guy hasn't played baseball.
He's going to sign somewhere.
But he hasn't trained at all. He was out doing missions and stuff.
I don't know. Yasiel Puig's one of those guys. I don't know how much spring training he needs. I don't know how much spring training does for him. Seeing my pitches, sure, you know, and all that stuff. But I think he's going
to
be okay.
To me, it's not worth it. That's the problem. Okay. He's going to miss too much time. Like the season starts.
He may not play. I mean, that's a possibility as well. I mean, you know, if he just misses the minimum amount of time, it seems like he'll probably be back for the second week of the season. And he has to sign somewhere and, you know, and all that stuff.
I think he's got to ramp up a little bit, too. I think
he might need to.
That's my point. Like, you miss a month of the season. What's the point in making the
right.
Like, if it's super late and it's a deep league, or I don't know, even if it's you can get him as a bench in a 12 team and you've got five outfielders already set and stuff like that. Okay, I see some of the risk here, but he's got to have two positive or two negative tests, which, you know, that's going to take a little bit. Then he's got to either go back with the Braves or re-sign. Then he's got to work out, stretch out a little bit. I don't see though. It's almost like how I am about Ohtani. Is Ohtani going to hit some homers this year? Absolutely. Is he going to have a game where he strikes out eight? Yeah, he probably is. But for me, the price in Ohtani, and it's also relative to where you play, I just don't, I think it's going to be too weird because, you know, but
we got official announcements on that too, about how he will not hit the day before he pitches ever.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And after, like, he will not hit before and after.
They didn't say anything about after.
They
didn't say that. I think if that was the case, and I think you're right, but that hasn't been announced. You know, they did say officially he will not hit the day before.
He's more valuable as a hitter. Pitching. He could get a little bit over like a good catcher type of an at bats. So I'm not saying he's not going to be good.
Have him in a daily lineup too. Like there's a bunch of, there's a bunch of things surrounding him. And also it matters what system you draft him in. Because,
well, yeah. You know, Yahoo, don't even bother. Like I'm not interested in owning Ohtani this year. Ohtani will be more valuable than Puig. I'm not like, I won't draft Puig. Where I'm not going to say I won't draft Ohtani. I'm not interested in either one of them. They just don't make sense from a construction standpoint. I don't see the upside. I mean, Ohtani, you know, guy could hit 10 homers and steal five bases in this shortened season and could have less at bats to do it than other people. So maybe there's a little bit of value if you want to drop a minute utility there, but I still think inside the top 100 is dicey. And a guy like Puig, I just don't see where the risk reward is from top to bottom. I just don't see like, you'll probably sign somewhere and, you know, hopefully it'll be a starting gig. And if you start him in August, like what's the point in drafting him? I'd rather someone else do it or someone else do it than cut him and then pick him up. But I just don't, you're up again in fan tracks there, Boggs.
Yep.
Got to turn that horn off there. I can't not hear it. I mean,
I know you can't not hear it. Now I can barely hear you because of it. So
are you going to draft Yasiel Puig?
No, I'm in AL only league, which he is available in, but no, he's been drafted a couple days ago. So
maybe you can draft Franchy Cordero, who we had a nice little trade go down, which by the way, I don't understand the structure of baseball trades right now. I don't know how they're all working because I thought like you had to trade, maybe both of all these guys that were traded were on the 60 man. So that's why they were able to do it. But it was Franchy Cordero and Ronald Polanos were traded from the Padres to the Royals for Tim Hill, which it was just like, you know, I think the Padres are trying to clear up some room. Like, what was
well, they want your guy Olivares, who we talked about on the ITL MLB, baseball podcast. The you named him, like, I don't know, probably in March. As
I did get some love. I was getting some love from, I know,
Mike Curlin.
Yeah, Curlin gave me some love. And every podcast I've been on, I did it on Doug Ish's podcast with SP Streamer. It was on the Padres. And I've tried to talk about Edward Oliveira. So I do feel good about that. That's kind of been like one of my guys that, yeah, I mean, the dude, he can hit, he can run. He's a good defender. He's 25. You know, I don't know how much flexibility they have with him anymore. I think this spoke wonders of the team being like, listen, we want Oliveras out there more than we want Franchi. So Franchi became extremely expendable. So he could right. be, Oliveras could be the
and fourth. This is a great spot. This is a great spot for him to land too, because there's Franchi. For Franchi, there's a lot of playing time available in Kansas City. As we know, that roster is ugly right now. So looks like he's going to at least be a platoon player to start. And guy's got a lot of power and a lot of speed. He's also got a lot of swing and miss. So he's a dicey pick for sure. But I like it. I love it for Franchi. You know, for Oliveras, okay, you know, maybe there's a little bit more of an open spot for him to play. But for Franchi, I think this is a great, great move. By the way, the thing that I wanted to talk about when we were going to break was Roto. It's called, I think the company's called Roto Assurance. They offer you insurance for your fantasy football team and your entry fee if one of the players that you draft gets hurt. And
you have to pay them a fee, and then yes. if they get hurt, they pay your that's a wild
they'll service. Pay you back your entry fee. Yeah, so that and it's you have to file a claim. It's like it's a real insurance company.
It sounds like the worst. If you want to make fantasy not fun, then go through an insurance claim.
Okay, but claims. How about you know NFFC? You know, and you're investing in you know whoever Saquon Barkley, and then he blows out his knee. You know what I mean? So
I guess
something like that. But that's also a lot of money to pay. I don't know how much it costs, but I'm assuming it's probably not cheap enough for something that I would want to do. And our leagues are cheap enough to where if, you know, I think the most expensive league I play in is $100. So
like if I could go, if I had like an NFBC team and I could insure Mike Trout, like, okay, I guess that makes sense, but I don't know. Dude, like
this is what I asked. Because I went to the site because I was like, what is the name of that site? And I typed it in and I found it. And they have, you know, the little chat pop up like, hey, how can we help you today? So I typed in and I asked about COVID. I'm like, can I make a claim if one of my players gets COVID? And they said they have not updated their policy on illness yet. So
I almost lost $100. I was just I got really that was a mental block I just had, forgetting what we were doing. I was just about to go that like no, that's a bull crap. But see, that's you know, right there, I'm telling you right there, you know, there are people, I guess there's people that would do this, and then a guy will go out for COVID and they'll try to do an insurance, and it'll be just like a real insurance claim. They'll be like, oh, sorry about the byline and in section 4. That the last thing I want to do on the planet. Let me tell you something. I have been, I'm going to tell you right now,
I resent this is not paying me. For any other insurance anyway. So it's not like I want to drag it into fantasy sports.
This is not a me thing. This is way more of a Bogman thing I'm about to tell you, because Bogman is the type of person that would rather pay. Follow me here. You'll know okay, what I'm talking
all right,
about.
All right. It sounds like you're about to insult me.
No, I'm not. I'm not at all.
Okay, you're all right.
You would much rather just continue paying for something than it disturbing your day and getting up and stopping it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you've had subscription services that you didn't need forever until you finally give in. I have been overpaying for my car insurance for probably a year. They're ridiculous. They're bad. I've emailed them about this, that, and the other thing. They gave me 1 month of a discount with COVID and then went right back up.
Really?
100% know that I could get less money. I still haven't done it. I need to do it immediately. I need to change this thing. And I keep not doing it. You want to know why? Because insurance is the worst thing to deal with.
Online. I have the insurance that has, you know, Jake as their spokesman, that guy. I have that one. And I went to pay my insurance at the beginning of this month and they just cut it in half. I was like, yeah, what?
They did it. Mine, and, mine is mine rhymes with honey.com.
Okay.
I have that one. And they did 1 month where they gave me a discount and then they went right back.
By the way, do you have farmersonly.com as your insurance? Because that's what it sounds like you were singing.
I mean, I was just trying to rhyme. Like, what's the insurance that I have? It's only.
Yeah, I also have OnlyFans insurance, but no, I'm kidding. But no, man, it's that was kind of crazy to me. Was okay, are you gonna offer insurance for COVID? It sounds like if they haven't updated their policy right now, they're not going.
Well, that I mean, that is a nondescript answer to say like, no, we're not going to. Instead of saying no, we have no plans to. We have not updated our policies. Do they only do football?
No, they do everything. They even do sports betting insurance. I don't know how that works, but they do football, baseball, basketball, hockey, DFS, and sports betting.
I don't mean to be mean, but I think it's stupid. Like, why would anybody do that? It's like buying insurance when you have 21.
It's the ultimate form. It's the ultimate form of hedging.
I guess, but it's like you have blackjack on the table and the dealer's showing an ace. Would you like to buy insurance? No.
You're not wrong. I mean, to me, it's kind of like, well, what's the point of doing the whole thing if you're just going to like back it up to make sure you don't lose everything? And how much does that cost?
Have to have invested? Like, we're all spending. We all, if we justifiably, and this is coming from somebody that
you can't insure your entire team either. Listen, you insure one player.
We have a subscription, and that's even worse. We have a subscription service for fantasy. We do so much stuff, but we all know we probably spend a couple more dollars at the end of our fantasy season. Overall, DFS.
Yeah.
We do one or two more leagues than we should. You're buying this, you're doing that, and you got to compartmentalize to get to the level where you're like, boy, I need to ensure Joe Mixon for this season because my whole season is contingent on that. I would rather just build the strategy I talked about instead of insuring the quarterback.
What was the movie where Ben Stiller was making like the charts and graphs of the women versus each other that he was dating? Along Came Polly, one of those where he was an insurance salesman or something. I don't remember the movie. I don't think I ever saw it all the way through. But that sounds like that's the type of person that would buy the insurance. Is a person that would make charts and graphs to see if one woman they're dating is better than the other woman without just knowing. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, let's not go down that road. But you could start selling risk bucks. Maybe they don't do anything. You know what I mean? They don't do anything. You're like, buy risk bucks. Like, but what do they do? You buy them.
They're risk. They're fun. They're for risk.
Yeah. It's they're like tokens for MFC, but they don't do anything. So
I would love to hear from somebody that has gone through the process of this because I'm totally sure
submitted a claim.
But that's what I just said. I want to hear from. No. I want someone that's bought it and then had to go through the process because I'm totally sure it's nothing like all the other insurance companies. I'm sure it's super easy. And you go, it's just like, you know how they sell you extended warranties? They're like, you just come in and get a new one. It's never like that. It's not like that. You don't just have a warranty and then they're like, here's a new one. It's like, no, you got to do this. You got to do that. Have you done this first? I can't imagine it's easy. I don't see the upside in it. Like, I know there are people that can quantify risk much better than we can. And there's people that, you know, they'll do a cost analysis. You'd be like, well, here's what I have invested in the league and here's what this would cost to blah, blah, blah. And they could figure it out. I just don't know why that we're beyond having fun anymore. That's like playing in a fantasy league and giving points for offensive linemen.
Oh, whatever. Wouldn't you rather much, much more do that than pay every for time. Roto insurance, right?
I would rather do punter fantasy points than I would insuring my players.
Exactly. Oh man. If I could have Michael Dixon,
Cost? Can you click on there? We're just totally defaming this idea.
Before, I think, trying to insure like Todd Gurley last year in a $50 league was like $13.
What?
I'm not 100%. I don't remember exactly, but I think I'm in the right ballpark. I might be completely wrong, but I think that's what it was.
Capitalism, man. It's awesome. It's pretty good stuff. All right. Don't go anymore. We got don't go anymore. I can't speak anymore. It's amazing. I am supposed to be able to speak.
J.K. Dobbins.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm J.K. Dobbins. No, no, you're going to make me do the D.K. Dobbins. I do it every single time. You got to transpose it. So, all right, don't go anywhere. More in this league coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries. I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
In this league.
Break it down.
What's up? Welcome back to In This League right here on Sports Grid. I'm Chris Welsh. That is Scott Bogman. You guys can find us over at InThisLeague.com. Come and check out our Patreon. We would love it if you would. We've got ranks that should be out. New baseball updated ranks. Monday is football. I'm still working on prospect stuff. Prospecting stuff has been very weird right now. Lots of Patreon stuff. You guys come and check us out. If you want to support us, that's another like big key to the whole point is if you want to support us, we're, you know, independent podcasting. It's a way to do it. And trust me when I tell you, we have a lot of perks that are available for you. Boggs, I was on, it just made me think about the prospect stuff. I was on with Pizapia for, well, I'll be on with Pizapia right here on this network on Sunday with Diamond Bets. And we spent a couple segments talking about, you know, breakout players. And we were talking about prospects, and it was funny because he mentioned something. He was like, oh, you got to listen to Prospect One. You know, it's, you know, one of the best and it's the top resource and blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, right at the top, I was like, yeah, it's great to have a podcast about something that is not going to play this year. Like there's no minor leagues. Like there are prospects, but the whole process of evaluating and going
college
through
football.
Yeah. And you know? you're the same exact way. It's just kind of a tough spot. And I find myself having, a little bit of a difficulty right now. And maybe it's, I don't know if it's motivation, because I love talking about prospects, but you know, you also have, I'm trying to blame audience, but you also have audiences that are kind of disconnected a little bit. So it's like, what do people want to hear? You know, I think there are some outlets that are regurgitating the same stuff that like over and over and over. And that's kind of not fun. Sometimes there's people that have just moved on to next year. And I don't particularly think that's a ton of fun. There's people just pretending to make up information that you just don't have any justifiable, like you can't justifiably go through every single prospect and tell you about all the new stuff when there isn't new stuff. So
right.
I do find it a little bit tough. And so I hope people are more interactive. Listeners are more interactive about, you know, what are the things that they want to hear when it comes to prospects, because that's been a tough one for me for the last couple of weeks. You know, I've been trying after the draft, it kind of dries out a little bit to like, well, what can we really cover? Cause I want to keep covering. And that's why, like, I don't want to be lazy, but I kind of want to keep going back to the mailbag. Like, will you guys ask me questions?
I did the opposite thing too. And I was like, we're just going to act like, you know, college football is moving forward. And we did a schedule episode where we talked about all the teams, the bye weeks, the tough matchups in the playoffs, who has, you know, in college football, there's bye weeks in the playoffs. So we went over all that stuff, and it's all null and void now because all the conferences are going to conference only play. So we don't know when the season is going to start. And we don't know, we know all those non-conference games are gone. So, and we had some really good ones too, the Welsh. We had opening week, we're going to get USC, Alabama. We're going to get Oregon, Ohio State. was going to be week one as well. So we're going to have a lot of really, really good games. And now those are just completely off the table because of these conferences switching to conference only play. So I'm with you, man. It's difficult to know what to talk about and what people want to hear, you know, when the sport isn't happening. And
yeah,
for you, you know it's not happening. It's minor league baseball's done. If we see minor league,
I mean,
see prospects are going to be in the majors. So
yeah, there's a version of like, you know, they could be at the camps and, you know, these inter squad workouts and stuff, but it's not a minor league. And then there's also a report, you know, I'll take it for what it is, but a report that the Arizona Fall League now is looking not very likely. Like where there was a lot of hope that the Fall League and the and an extended look at an Arizona Fall League was going to, you know, be a really great way for prospects to kind of tackle everything, that it's looking less likely, especially probably mainly because of like what Florida and Arizona, who house them, you know, two of the hottest spots in the country, in the world right now, for cases. So it's really hard to gauge that type of stuff. Yeah, we're in a weird spot. I mean, another weird one, this is why like I really want baseball, and I might get reinvigorated if teams are willing to video some of their inner squad stuff like they've been doing, you know, maybe on YouTube or something like that.
They possibly can.
Well, I hope they do, because a lot of these minor league teams are going to go play in other facilities. And I'm hoping maybe, you know, because everyone's kind of looking for gigs to do right now, that you'll have some more video of that type of stuff. But also in actual baseball, I really want to get to the season, because like, take this, for instance, this is a prime example. As most people know, we've been saying over the last couple of weeks, if you're at the highest level of our Patreon, one thing that we do every week when we do this radio show is we actually have it done kind of in a video format, and people can come hang out with us and people can come and watch. They get to see the in-between and hear the in-between of each segment. And it's kind of a cool experience if you like us in that way. If you didn't, like, it wouldn't be, but it's a cool little extra. But also people get to come and hang out in the chat, and they can, they could live ask questions or comment on things that we're talking about on the radio and stuff like that. Or you know, they can chat, whatever. And we've got Ian in here, and Ian had asked a question. He's had some baseball questions. And before we started up, we were like, hey, what are we going to talk about? And we were kind of going through our list and our stories and stuff. And he had a question where he said, can you talk about pitching battles for fifth spot in rotation? And I was kind of being like, well, which one? Because that's kind of a broad question. He started talking about a couple specific ones, and it led to a bigger conversation for us. And I kind of did this on Diamond Bets with Pisa Pia about, you know, that question right there to me is similar to the value of a prospect and how they're going to jump up this year. Because when you say, right, hey, let's talk about the fifth spot in a rotation, there's so much we don't know. We don't know what teams are going to utilize a 6, a 5, maybe even a 7-man rotation. They've talked about Bauer
piggybacking.
Well, that's what I haven't got to. Bauer has talked about maybe going every 4 days. We don't know what teams are going to piggyback. That also may, and besides even piggybacking, there could also be teams that are just not willing to let their starters go long. So he had said, hey, what about the Braves spot? Ian did. And I was like, well, that's exactly one of my points. Joe asked me about Max Fried. I'm not super in on Soroka and Max Fried because how the Braves have talked about what they're willing to do with their pitchers. Then on top of it, think about the injuries that some of the pitchers have had. And then think about the depth that this team has in the minor leagues. They've got guys like Kyle Wright. They've got Ian Anderson. They've got a host of Bryce Wilson. They've got a host of pitchers that make all the sense in the world to piggyback on with. I mean, right now, Fulte has the 5 spot. If Hamels is out, it probably goes to Sean Newcomb. But then they've got 4 or 5 other pitchers that
Tukey just came back today because he had COVID. So
Tukey's perfect example of it. So you have got 10 pitchers that could viably be in a rotation, and the Braves have openly talked about not wanting their pitchers to go deep into games. So the entire roster of the Braves could be piggyback. So that's why, you know, you get that type of a question. It's similar to prospects to me, that it is so, it's not unanswerable, but it's such a big question of speculation, because not every team has openly told us what they'll do. There's some teams that obviously look like they'll let their pitchers go deep. I think the Astros would be one of those. They've got massive bullpen questions. Roberto Osuna hasn't even pitched, we found out. Ryan Pressly is injured, and Joe Smith opted out. Their bullpen is in shambles right now, but guess what? They've got guys like Greinke and Verlander. So it seemed like the Astros, to me, seem like one that'll let their starters go deep. But there is almost...
And we're finding out the starters are way more ready than, you know, we thought they were. But a lot of these guys keep going 90 pitches in inter squad games, which means you could easily hit 100 pitches your first time out if needed.
But so, we don't have will teams have a regular five? Will they have a six? Will they go full piggyback? Will they all limit? Or
and I don't
will
think
they mix
a lot of
it
the,
up?
I don't think a lot of the teams even know themselves what they're going to do. Maybe they have a better idea now after a week or two of summer camp. But I think going in, we didn't get a lot of that because, like, you know, Josh James, who is a big pickup for everyone in drafts right now because we all want to see him. He's yeah. not guaranteed that fifth spot. They said I was reading Jeff Zimmerman's article, the mining the news article on yeah. Fangraphs, and he was talking about how it's down to Josh James versus Framber Valdez. So one of those guys is going to get that fifth spot, and it looks like the Astros, like you mentioned before, are going to let their starters go, and they're going to go with a regular five-man rotation. But you know, Josh James is not even guaranteed a spot yet.
But also, and then the other step to everything I just said, where you say, is there five? Is there six? Is it all limited? Are there piggybacks? There's also the mixture. You know, right. you can have teams. We don't have a full idea yet. You know, take the Oakland A's. The Oakland A's have insinuated that Chris Bassett and I think Mingden could be a piggyback thing.
Right.
Okay. Well, Lizardo's just came back to camp, and you got Puck. Those two did do piggyback starts in the minors. So could we see Manaea, Fires, and Montas go be full pitchers, but then all of a sudden the four and the five spot are piggybacks? That's super important. And then the most important factor to even figure out what we do with the piggybacks is we need the second guy. We don't care about the guy that starts the game because that guy only helps you with ratios. The second guy is your shoe-in for wins. So it really sparked in me. It's a great question that Ian asked because it sparked into me the thousand questions or the questions that are out there that you really can't answer. And that breeds back to me wanting to lock into those higher end pitchers early and then right. speculate, because I would really hate for Lizardo to be my SB2 and, you know, I don't know, have like, I don't know. I mean, Sonny Gray is actually one of those decent ones, but like, I want a couple of the top end guys. You know, I'd like yeah. to have a DeGrom and a Zach Greinke. I've drafted.
And DeGrom had, you know, back spasms or whatever yeah. the other day too. So it's, you know, it's tough to keep up with all the news right now, because not only do we have our standard spring training ramp up news, we also have COVID news and weird roster news. It's a lot to keep pace with right now, but we're trying to do it as absolute best we can. Over.
Well, I don't. Yet, but so. I'm not even coming at it from a like, hey, we're doing a good job, guys. Blah blah blah. I'm saying everybody. Like,
no, look, no. I understand that, but it's you know, it. What you're talking about, I understand what you're saying, but it's also an impossible task because we won't know. And this goes back to Rob's point about roster resource. Roster resource does great mining of, you know, everything as far as who's in the rotation, who's on the injured list, you know, who's in the minors, who's on the 40-man roster. They keep that stuff updated every single day. And then we get to opening day and they're still wrong. Yeah. About stuff. So, you know, you could be as caught up and educated as anyone in the industry. And when we get to the regular season, the team zigs when you thought they were going to zag. And that's just the way it is.
I think it's one of those things where on not the most recent, but one of the last two or three, I don't even remember now, in this League Fantasy Baseball podcast that we did, we had John and Rob Silver on. And John had written this article over in The Athletic about the importance of taking guys that are higher in the batting lineup because their plate appearances are exponentially bigger, projected in a shortened season. And same can be said in my mind about pitching. Now, that doesn't mean, because we're all faced with it, that we have to dig deeper into rotations. But like Ian had asked about the Brewers, and the Brewers have a ton of hot hands. So who could possibly know where they're going to go? It's an inexperienced rotation led by Brandon Woodruff, who doesn't have enough innings under his belt. Corbin Burns is probably the hottest name on there right now. But
he's hit 98 on the gun, man.
But you go over to Roto World, he's eighth on the rotation spot right now. So how would we know? And as Ian says, jokes and they'll probably only go three innings. Probably right, but we don't know. I could totally see them piggybacking Lindblom and Corbin Burns. Makes all the sense in the world for those two. You have got to bank. And I always, this is my biggest task, I would say to anybody, is I bank on the talent, whether it's hitter or pitcher. And you don't have the information. information. Don't let anybody tell you that they have the information if it's not out there. The team is going to be the one that's going to be like, yeah, by the way, this is how our rotation is. You know, what was it? The Dodgers told us that their first run through, they don't want any of their pitchers going deep. So the, first five games or whatever starting pitchers are going to go, they're not going to go the full way through. Maybe Kershaw and Buehler push it a little bit, but Urias is probably going to be piggybacked by a guy like Ross Stripling, you know, and if Alex Wood is the next starter, he'll probably be piggybacked by a guy like Dustin May. And then it's all going to change. There's so much info that I want to tackle two things. The constants, the ones I can count on, and then I want to play on talent. And talent's going to get me there. Corbin Burns versus Josh Lindblom. Corbin Burns is the most more talented player. I would rather have him. With the Braves, the same situation if we're kind of going back to those guys. I mean, I think Soroka is super talented, so that's what's tough about it with a price. But actually, I wouldn't touch any of those guys. I don't want any of those. I don't want a single Braves rotation guy in my fantasy rotation. Do you? Really? You want Soroka?
Not really. Max Fried is fine. I don't want to go much further than that.
Soroka cost like a top 100 pick.
No thanks. The only guy that I have moved up with that type of stuff is I feel like it would be so silly if they don't have Corbin Burns in the rotation. Like I think there's other guys that have moved up, I think, because of good summer camp performances so far. I mean, you know, just talking about our Diamondbacks, Robbie Ray, I think, has 18 innings and 17 strikeouts.
I've been saying forever. I think they're going to let him go as far as he needs to go. I have no question about him.
And Marte hit a homer from both sides of the plate the other day. And, he's been rocking. Corbin Burns is hitting 98 on the gun and has like 17 strikeouts in 13 inter squad innings. So, I wish we had better stats for these inter squad games and just a little bit more was paid attention to it. Cause every time I turn on MLB Network, it's a movies on still, you know what I mean?
Oh, you got to go to YouTube. You hate watching stuff on YouTube and Facebook. Well, you like YouTube, but you don't like
I don't like Facebook, but I like watching YouTube, but there's stuff on Twitter all the time. And Instagram has a lot of highlights too. So I've seen a lot of stuff on Instagram too.
You know, I think with the D-backs real quick, it's just interesting. You said that. I think they're going to be someone that implements a piggyback. I don't know if it's going to be the fifth spot, but like I look because they lost Link. You have Bumgarner, Ray, Gallen. They really tried to push Merrill Kelly. I just don't know how good he's going to go. Maybe Luke Weaver, but I feel like there's going to be a fifth spot that's going to be a piggyback between like Merrill. Alex Young and Merle or Alex Young and Duplantier or something like that. I really feel there's going to be a piggyback situation and you're going to want the back end of that. So like if Alex Young and Duplantier or Duplantier are the guys, I think Alex starts and John is the one that comes on the back end. So that would be a player that you would want to invest in because he's going to get some cheap wins. So I think it was a really fascinating conversation because it's a weird spot. That's one of those really odd ones where we talk about batting order and opportunity and rotational positional players. That fifth rotation spot in baseball, it's less definitive than it's ever been before, and it's just speculation. It is just speculation. We got to go to break. One more from me when I come back, and John Lobb in hour three, so don't go anywhere. More on this coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In this league is
cooking. Welcome back, friendos. Final segment of hour two, which is the final one for me. Our boy John Lobb, pinch hitting, right? Because Bubba pinch hits for me. And then John, we have the third replacement in. It is John Lobb. What are you and John going to hit in the coming segments?
We're going to do more player debates. I'm getting John's opinions on some of the players for the NFL draft. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about Dak Prescott and who's more to blame for the Dak Prescott mess, Dak Prescott in his camp or the Dallas Cowboys. So that is what we're going to be talking about to start hour three. And then we're going to move into some good old debates.
My head's itchy here, Bogman.
Yep.
See that? What's
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See my
I'm not looking.
Oh, were you looking at my ring? Oh, you were looking at my ring. Bogman was looking. I just happened to be scratching my head on video, and I had my nice, beautiful ring, custom ring from officialfantasyrings.com, and that has ITL and jewels on there. I just noticed you were looking at that. I didn't know if you wanted to look.
Yeah. You know what? I really love that we're doing these on StreamYard now, so I can see that ring.
Yep. Oh, sorry, I had an itchy head there. Gotta use big old ring to itch it. Hey, Bogman, who you can find on Twitter, Bogman Sports, myself, at Is It The Welsh. This league, Bogman, not in this league, but this league, which has its own Twitter account. Basketball is definitely the fun. Like if all sports were like a kid in school, like baseball is like the nerdy, like, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And football's the jock, and basketball is the fun kid. He's the class clown because they're in Disney World, the bubble, getting prepared for the tournament. And the basketball players have been nothing short of entertainment from top to bottom from, I mean, what was the first one? The first one I saw, I'm trying to remember.
Food.
Yeah, it was the food. It was Rashawn Holmes.
Yeah. No. Not Rashawn Holmes. The first thing with the bubble that I saw was the complaints about the food, because they don't give you options. What they do is they just bring you everything on the menu and you choose what you want to eat. I guess it's easier than asking, 500 players, what do you want off the menu or whatever. So they just bring you everything to your room, and guys were complaining about that. And then we had these stories of Rashawn Holmes, I believe. Everybody's wearing these wrist bracelets that track where you go. So if one guy pops with COVID, then they can see who he has interacted with. Yeah. So they know who everyone has to quarantine with. It's a little Big Brother-ish, but these guys agree to it. They get paid millions of dollars, whatever.
New usages for it, though.
Yeah, exactly. So this happened. Rashawn Holmes ordered Postmates, and I guess he went outside to meet the driver. Maybe the driver couldn't find where his hotel was. I don't know, but he left the bubble.
Like, I'm near the Matterhorn. I'm staying near the Matterhorn.
they left the bubble. He left the bubble, so he got his food and brought it back, and then had to quarantine for 10 days.
Is it like a physical bubble, or are they
bubble?
Are they treating it like?
Well, it's a border. It's a boundary, so you're not allowed to go past X we can't. There's people in these areas.
So it's if you're on house arrest.
Yeah.
Like if you move past a certain area.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then I think it happened to. I know someone left to go get food that their mom cooked for them. They left the bubble. And I think that was
that would be Bogman. That would 100% be Bogman.
Absolutely.
Mom's made ribs.
Take my contract. I got to get me these ribs right here.
That's really funny.
But I think that was Bruno Caboclo. But there's also rumors about dudes having girls over to the bubble.
Did you see it? The chicks was, her name was like, Ugly something, and she ain't ugly. Big old butt model chick who was like, she tweets, "I've already been invited to the bubble. This league is not lasting." And then people were like trying to figure it out. There was one NBA player that followed her, and it was Montrezl. It was our boy Montrezl Harrell, and because people are trying to figure out who it was, I didn't know. Like, so how does that process work? These dudes can invite like side chicks and stuff to come in?
No, they can't.
So how are they going to get it? Are they going to sneak around the bubble?
So, or leave
these
the bubble.
They're treating it like college. They are treating this
they
like
they really are. And also, I heard that there are a lot of guys complaining about the rooms and stuff because, you know, they're used to their giant houses. But I think GA shut everyone up with that. He's like, no, you know, I lived in a apartment, a studio apartment in Greece that was smaller than this with my five brothers. So this is fine by me.
Yeah, and he said it was completely fine.
And Boban said, you know what? The food is great. The room is great. And he said, and my favorite thing is the bed. He said, I slept 12 hours on this bed the other day. It's better than my bed. And he's 7'3". So, you know, if the bed is big enough for Boban, no one else gets to complain about the size of the bed unless Yao Ming shows up for no reason. So
I just saw Boban last night in John Wick 3. I totally forgot he was in it. Remember?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I remember he was in it. Yeah. Yeah, he's such a good actor.
He was a good actor. He was pretty good, but he got knocked pretty.
Yeah. Well, who do you think would win in a fist fight between Keanu Reeves and Boban Welsh? Who do you think?
I think it's John Wick. I mean, there's proven evidence. John sticks that book in his mouth.
Yeah,
One
backhand from Boban would send Keanu Reeves flying into the next dimension.
I mean, Boban did stab him in the shoulder. He got him.
Wow. John way to get Wick. One, Boban. Amazing.
I like that the funny stuff that's happened. I mean, that the side chick thing is ridiculously funny that it's even happening. It's amazing that these guys are willing to do it. But the idea that they have a private line where these guys can do complaints.
Players
is
are
amazing.
Pissed about that too. It's amazing. So yeah, they definitely have, the NARC line, which it means that you call up the line and you say this player left the bubble, or this player had a guest, or they're not wearing a mask because they're supposed to wear a mask everywhere they go until they get to either the practice court or their room again. So Doc Rivers said, yeah, you know what? I'm about to call on LeBron. And then a little bit after that, I'm going to call on Popovich. And I'm just going to get everybody out of this bubble until we're the only ones left. And
smart strategy.
It's pretty bad. I mean, I thought it was a little bit, I thought it was dicey because Rudy Gobert called it petty. And I was like, Rudy, do you really get to speak on anything? Like, you're the reason the whole country's on shutdown as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
so.
You're kissing your teammates, dude. People are tired of it.
Yeah,
Stop kissing your teammates.
Someone should have narked on you way earlier, jerk. So
let me ask you this. Because it's been fun. Like, it's been fun. I mean, they've had their stuff.
Westbrook tested positive. It's not all fun.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, they've had, that stuff, which isn't fun. They've had, but that, you know, you have the, like, dudes complaining about food, which no one's going to listen to. You get they're calling girls and girls are, you know, they're tweeting about it and stuff like that. Dude, you know, getting his Postmates and being put, like, there is, regardless of, you know, like the seriousness of all the things, there's some funny humor. You know, if this was in, like, you know, an episode of, The Office, you know, or Community or something like that, like, we'd be, you know, laughing about these type of things. But there's a little bit of a concern about the seriousness of how this is being taken. Are you going to invest at all in any type of a bubble DFS or a bubble tournament or any type of a league? Like, is there going to be any investment in you in any type of a fantasy basketball realm with all of this starting up in just a couple weeks?
Yeah. I mean, I the NBA, you know, we talked about at the beginning of the first hour with, you know, baseball in the middle of prep season and just about to start. This is the big draft weekend, so we got to get all those ranks done. And football, you know, we're in the middle of the normal. We're doing Hell Week next week, so we're dead in the middle of our prep season here. The NBA has been on the back burner because there's only 8 regular season games, and then after that, they're going straight to the playoffs. So there's not a lot to build fantasy-wise, but I'll do a playoff team, and I might, you know, fill out a couple DFS lineups. I mean, obviously I can't do it here. Maybe I'll help someone.
Have you seen anybody has anybody, like, made any type of commitment to, like, a full run playoff? I don't know what you would do. It would be like, you could do, like, kind of like we talked about.
There's been playoff leagues before where, you know, you can draft whoever you want, but, you know, if you take Damian Lillard and the Blazers get bounced in the first round, then, you know, you don't have him for the rest of the tournament, stuff like that. So
I would be kind of interested in doing, similar to what we talked about with baseball, I'd love to do like a weekly, if they had some type of a, like, doesn't basketball usually have like a weekend tournament where they like pack the five games or something, or three games or something?
I'm not, I know football does that, but I don't know about basketball.
I'd be interested in doing like a weekly thing, and then you accumulate the points, and then you just, you know, boom, it's like a roto. It's like after week one, how you finish, boom, here you go. That's the points, and just do that the whole way through. So it's not like you're not like drafting a player and then, oh, he's gone, and losing him, and then that's a problem. It's more like every week you guys are continuously drafting and drafting, and then it's creating some type of a roto at the end. That would be fun. Right. That would be fun, because I kind of want to do something with basketball, but I will admit, I think, which has hurt basketball a decent amount, is it is so entrenched in the middle of baseball actually starting and football starting up as well. It's a bad recipe. And you and I have said, like, our biggest hope of all of this is basketball would commit to a later start than forever. Like, just start starting your season in December. Just
right. But what you want is you still want it to end, you know, in early June, late June, somewhere in that. So you don't want it to get to July. So you still want to end it a little bit earlier. So it's not, you just don't want to be up against football if you're the NBA, whether it's preseason or not. You know, you don't want to be up against that in the biggest part of your season, which is the playoffs and the finals and all that stuff. But I think they'd be fine. And we still don't know when they're going to restart when they're going to start next season, because the original timeline was December 1st was games. And the NBA Players Association did not like that. So it seems like it may be pushed back to closer to Christmas or, you know, the first of 2021 for the following season. But, you know, let's just get through this bubble. And by the way, I love that Disney World reopened in the middle of all of this, too.
Yeah. I forgot about that. Like there's just people there and the player, like, are the players like blocked off in an area? Do they get like Legoland?
I read that the players were going to be able to go and do some of the rides, but that was before, I think, that they announced that they were reopening the park. So I think after that, obviously, you're not going to be able to go into the crowds of people, because it's not like you have to come with a coronavirus test to get into Disney World. All you have to do is show up with your whatever $500 and, you know.
But like, are the dudes going to be able to, like, while there's people walking on rides, are they going to go on rides? Is there bubble inclusive inside Disney World? Because that's how they're going to meet the chicks. The chicks are going to be like, hey, meet me over at the teacups.
No. But that's why they're all wearing the wristbands, is because they're within a protected bubble of, if people come into this area, they have to be vetted and they have to have done their tests already. So that's even how they're doing the reporters. Like, the reporters have to pay at X amount, or, you know, obviously whoever they work for has to pay X amount a day for them to be there. And then they kind of have unfettered access, but they have to go through the test. They got to pay for all the stuff and all that. They're going to have scouts and reporters there. So, but they can't leave the bubble at all. The players. Washington, that's why Rashawn Holmes got 10 days of quarantine.
Washington reporters are going to come in. Man, do I got some news to tell you about things this that happened in the bubble. Wait till you hear about this bubble in 3 weeks. I'm not going to report it, but someone
called a complaint on Jimmy Butler because he was dribbling the ball in his room. So whoever was below him. Everyone said that. Every single, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, Cat's not even there, you know, but he's like, I would like to call a complaint about Jimmy Butler. You know, he was dribbling the ball in his room, and whatever team, I don't know who it was, but someone was below him and complained about the noise coming from their upstairs neighbor, and it was Jimmy Butler.
Are you more excited for baseball or basketball? The basketball playoffs or the beginning of a baseball season?
I think I'm more excited for baseball, just because we got none of it. You know, we had basketball. We had most of the basketball season. We were ramping up, like we said, 8 games or whatever. Maybe it's a little bit more than that. Maybe we shaved 20 games off. But we got at least 2/3 of the basketball season in.
We got enough to, like, call the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All-star game and all that stuff. We were in the fantasy playoffs in some of our leagues. And we have had, you know, we had, what, 2.5 weeks of spring training, and that's it? And so I'm more excited about baseball coming back, but baseball did, of course, disgust me with all the stuff that happened in the offseason and the arguing about the contracts and all that. So,
yeah, well, I mean, Baseball, there's a lot going on, and it's starting up this week is really exciting. So, you know, just a reminder to everybody, you know, we got some cool stuff on Monday's episode. We're going to be talking about this is on the Fantasy Baseball Podcast, ITL's Fantasy Baseball Podcast. We're going to be talking about our shares of players, which, dude, I mean, spoiler alert, Giancarlo Stanton's going to be my number one share, which is shocking because of Bogman. I looked at my best ball teams. All of my best ball teams, Giancarlo Stanton's on. I looked at one. I was going through and I was like, this offense is the best offense. How did I get this offense? Then I got to the rotation. Two pitchers I had in my rotation, Chris Sale and Noah Syndergaard. So I was like, oh, it doesn't matter. It is.
I definitely have that combo in a best ball league, which is hard.
That's what I'm saying. So. That's a best ball. That's what I'm saying. So like offense really? Is great and it's garbage. And I had Giancarlo Stanton in all of those best balls, and I've got him in so many other places. So we're going to be talking about shares, plus a very special surprise I have for Bogman. I'm very excited about. It's going to be very fun. And then the baseball season starting up on Thursday. Do we know what the schedule is on Thursday too? What is the, I mean, you're texting somebody or something. But.
Yeah, well, in the middle of these entry leagues. Thanks for pointing that out. Theater of the mind. The world. Theater of the mind. You always tell me about, but throw me right under the goddamn.
I was sitting there talking about my best ball team, and then you're looking down at your phone, and you went up, and you're like, yeah, I got one of these in a best ball, but that's different than what you were just saying. I'm like, no, I was just saying a best ball.
Yeah, well, whatever. Yeah, here's the bus. I'm thrown immediately under it. So
the Jerome bus.
Yeah, let me see.
I think it's these are all
intra squad.
You want to know? It's so weird is when you go to ESPN's scoreboard, they have all the inter squad stuff up.
Yeah, I know that's I'm on MLB and they have that.
Looks like you've got Yankees and Nationals, Giants and Dodgers on opening night.
Those are the two games. Yeah. And then Friday is when all the rest of the teams open.
So Thursday night, we will be doing the podcast, dropping it for Friday for live reaction. So make sure you guys check out the ITL Baseball Podcast this week. Sports coming back, baby. I'm not coming back, but Bogman is, and he's got John Lobb, so don't go anywhere. Hour three in this league. I'm out of here, though.
We'll be right back. I won't.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.